Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to be in Jeremiah 51 tonight, as we're just a couple chapters away from finishing this great prophetic book. Before we begin our study tonight, let's pray. Father, thank you for your people. We pray that you would make this a profitable evening. We thank you for what's revealed in this chapter. We pray that the Holy Spirit will use it in the way it should be used, Lord, in the way we think and live, in our concepts of things, our theology, our doctrine, our eschatology. We pray that you use this passage to just cement all of that. We'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're in a section of Scripture that clearly deals with God's judgment against Babylon. These are prophecies made in Jeremiah 50 and 51 that not only have to do with Babylon that was in existence at the time that Jeremiah lived, but also it has to do with Babylon and prophecies that pertain to the tribulation just before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Dr. John Wolverd wrote, in this prophecy, the complete destruction of Babylon was described in detail. At this and the preceding prophecies of the destruction of Babylon did not occur when the Medes and Persians conquered Babylon. There seems to be another reference here to the final destruction of Babylon at the time of the second coming. Now, as we mentioned last week, Babylon is used four different ways in the Bible. First of all, it's used to refer to a nation, and the nation that it refers to is modern-day Iraq. Secondly, it is used to refer to a literal city. The city of Babylon is located 55 miles south of Baghdad, Iraq. As we'll point out tonight, there are people that are actually living there right now. Thirdly, it is a political power. Babylon is referred to as a political power that is headed by a leader who dominates a military and also does destructive things against the people of God. That becomes significant. And finally, Babylon is referred to in the Scripture as a false system of religion. Now, what is very clear when we go through these two chapters of Jeremiah is that God has kept the record of everything Babylon has done against Israel. Everything that Babylon has done against Israel, against God's people, and there will be a prophetic payback. And it's going to be a major prophetic payback, which these two chapters clearly describe. Now, in the 51st chapter of Jeremiah, there are 25 specific prophecies that we kind of want to work our way through. First of all, God will personally send a destructive spirit against Babylon. Notice verse 1, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm going to arouse against Babylon and against the inhabitants of Leb-Kamai the spirit of a destroyer. Now, the proper noun Leb-Kamai refers to those that rise up against me, those that rise up against God. They are attackers. We could call them God attackers. And frankly, Babylon has been at the heart of everything that has risen up against God and attacked God. It all started with them back at the Tower of Babel. So this has been going on for a long time in history. And carefully observe, this judgment is aimed at the inhabitants. I'm going to arouse against Babylon and against the inhabitants. So it's going to be aimed at the people. And this will be a specific angelic being with this assignment. God is in control of angels. He obviously has destructive angels. We know there's an angel that is near that Euphrates River. And when he tells that angel it's time to get powers coming in here, that angel's going to operate. And there are destructive angels that do the bidding of God. And this is one time when it happens. Now, the second prophecy is God is going to send enemies from all directions to destroy her. Verse 2, I will dispatch foreigners to Babylon that they may winnow her and may devastate her land, for on every side they will be opposed to her in the day of her calamity. Now, what is predicted here is that God is going to have a specific time when he's going to bring foreigners from all directions, and they're going to come into that land for the sole purpose of destroying Babylon. As we've mentioned, primarily when the enemies of Babylon have attacked Babylon, they've come from the northeast or northwest. But this is very clear to point out they're going to be coming from all directions. They're going to come from all directions into that area to destroy them. More than likely, the Antichrist is going to be part of that. I think the prophecy that would lend itself to that is found in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 44, where there is just a lot of nations that are involved in the movement of the Antichrist, and God is going to destroy all Iraqi and Islamic people. And I think the Antichrist is going to play a critical role in that matter. Now the third prophecy is God will destroy all who try to defend Babylon. Notice verse 3, let not him who bends his bow bend it, nor let him rise up in his scale armor, so do not spare her young men, devote all her army to destruction. Now, Iraq tonight has what we would call some allies. But the allies of Iraq primarily are fickle. And they're only in a relationship that we would say would be an ally relationship with Iraq because of certain things. For example, Turkey is somewhat of an ally of Iraq tonight. But the reason why Turkey is an ally of Iraq is because they want to take care of the Kurds. And because the Kurds are an enemy of Turkey, they kind of snuggle up to Iraq because it can help them eliminate that. Also, Iran is somewhat of an ally of Iraq. And Iran is in a relationship with Iraq primarily because they're in a position to help them take out ISIS. And therefore, Iran has, for the most part, become what I would call a fickle ally of Iraq. And then you have Syria and Saudi Arabia. They are in somewhat of an allied relationship with Iraq. That's just due to oil. And then ultimately, Russia. Russia is also in what we would say would be an allied relationship with Iraq because of the Chechen fighters, which they want to destroy, and Iraq is in a position to help them. So what I say by way of bringing out this information is Iraq has allies tonight, but they're fickle. But what you see here in verse 3 is when God decides to send destruction against Iraq, none of those allies, whether it would be Turkey, Iran, Syria, Saudi Arabia, or Russia, is going to try to defend her. If they do try to defend her, they're going to be destroyed. Now, the fourth prophecy is God's judgment will be so devastating that dead bodies will lie in the streets. Notice verse 4. They will fall down slain in the land of the Chaldeans and pierced through in their streets. As we mentioned last week, there are 126 cities in Iraq. And Chaldea was pretty much the southern part of Iraq around the Persian Gulf. There are going to be dead bodies when this happens throughout all the land in all the streets of all 126 cities. As we've said before, some of the things in these prophecies occurred when the Medes and the Persians went in and took over Babylon. But not everything in this prophecy of Jeremiah has occurred yet, and this is one of them that hasn't. Now, the fifth prophecy is God's judgment will show that God does not forsake Israel or Judah. Verse 5, for neither Israel nor Judah has been forsaken by his God, the Lord of hosts, although their land is full of guilt before the Holy One of Israel. Now, God's people, and it doesn't matter if it's Israel or believers in the church age, need to understand this principle. God does not ever forsake his people. He may chastise them. In fact, we know that from both the Old and the New Testament, that God will chastise his people. But God will not ever forsake his people. And God is going to make a statement to the world when he ultimately fulfills the totality of this prophecy, that even though he's destroying Babylon, he is not going to destroy Israel, even though Israel's guilty. He makes it very clear in that verse. Israel is full of guilt. But because Israel is in a covenant relationship with God, and you'll notice that the noun for Lord there is capital L, capital O-R-D, that's Jehovah, the covenant name for God. Because Israel is in a covenant relationship with God, she will make a statement to the rest of the world that when God's destroying them, he's preserving her. Now, the sixth prophecy is when God judges Babylon, any who want to live need to flee. Notice verse 6, flee from the midst of Babylon, and each of you save his life. Do not be destroyed in her punishment, for this is the Lord's time of vengeance. He's going to render recompense to her. There are multiple passages of Scripture, a couple of them right in this chapter, one here in verse 6, another one in verse 45, and there was one in chapter 50, verse 8, in which the people of God are said, you need to flee. And all throughout this mandate, God's people are told, you need to flee. There's a principle here, a principle that we need to get hold of even in this church age. And that is, God's people need to get away and flee from things that God will judge and destroy. God's people need to get away from those kinds of things. They'll do you no good. God's people need to flee to good things. God's people need to flee to good places. You need to flee away from things that ultimately God is going to destroy. Now, when this happens, literally, physically, the Jewish people who are in this part of the world are going to need to ultimately flee the area. Now, I suspect that many Jews will have moved to this part of the area due to the fact that the Antichrist will have created some phony peace agreement between the Arabs and the Jews. You remember when Daniel says the Antichrist is going to surface after the rapture, he's going to enter into a peace agreement with Israel. And I suspect because of that, there are going to be people, even Jewish people, that will feel pretty safe living in any part of the Middle East, including Iraq. But God says to his people, when you see this go down, you get out of there, and you get out of there fast. Now, the seventh prophecy is God always sovereignly controlled Babylon. Verse 7, Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are going mad. I think that is just a very fascinating verse about the sovereignty of God. Because what you see in verse 7 is Babylon has been used by God for his purposes. He has sovereignly permitted Babylon to intoxicate the nations with their theological insanity. All the false religions, all the man-made systems of religion have actually been permitted to come into existence by God. And most people of the world tonight would rather believe in their works or would rather believe in their religion rather than God's grace found in Jesus Christ. I want you to notice carefully what is said in verse 7, that Babylon has been the golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. All the earth has been intoxicated by false religion. And God has sovereignly watched it all. Babylon is the way that man comes up with to try to reach God. It started in Genesis when they said, we're going to build a tower, we're going to build it and reach God. And it is continuing to exist in man-made systems of religion to this day. And God says, I'll finally reach a point where I destroy it all. Now, the eighth prophecy is God's judgment against Babylon will not be halted or healed because it is a judgment out of heaven. Verse 8, suddenly Babylon has fallen and been broken. Wail over her, bring balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. We applied healing to Babylon, but she was not healed. Forsake her and let us each go to his own country, for her judgment has reached the heaven and towers up to the very skies. I think it's fitting that they use the word towers there. Well, the text says in verse 8, wail over her. We know when that's going to happen. You can write down Revelation 18:9. I'm going to take you there a little later tonight. Revelation 18:9, that's when they're going to literally wail over them. But God's judgment is going to come fast. It's going to come furious. And verse 9 gives the impression that there were times when God's word reached out to Babylon, offering her a healing in their relationship with the Lord, but she wouldn't be healed. Which would indicate she would not listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ when the gospel of Jesus Christ was presented to her. And I think the pronoun we, verse 9, we applied healing to Babylon, refers to those believing Jews. And shortly after the rapture of the church, there are going to be many who ultimately will come to terms with truth. And some of them are going to believe in the Lord. And some of those people are going to communicate exactly what's going on. We'll talk about that in a minute. Now, the ninth prophecy is God's judgment of Babylon is going to vindicate Israel and will prompt her to worship God. Verse 10, the Lord has brought about our vindication. Come and let us recount in Zion the work of the Lord our God. There are a lot of references in this chapter to Israel. I've cited a lot of verses that mention her in your notes. And undoubtedly, when God destroys the Arab world right in front of Israel's eyes, it's going to become a key moment. And that is going to be a key moment when Israel is going to worship God in Zion, back at the place where she's supposed to worship God. And she's going to realize God is on our side. We know that when this destruction comes, there's going to be rejoicing in heaven. There's going to be rejoicing on earth for those that are in a right relationship with the Lord. The tenth prophecy is God's judgment of Babylon will be in part due to the treatment of his temple. Verse 11, sharpen the arrows, fill the quivers. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the kings of the Medes because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. For it is the vengeance of the Lord, vengeance for his temple. Now, the Medes lived in a land today which is northern Iran. And the Medes and the Persians overtook Babylon, but not to the extent of what is prophesied here. It has actually been the Arab world that in the last several hundred years has pretty much been responsible for seeing to it that the temple could not be rebuilt. It has been the Arab world that has put up their idolatrous Dome of the Rock shrine on a place where the temple should stand. And what God is basically saying here is, I've kept all these records all these years. I've kept all these records of all these people that have done negative things to my place of worship. They've done negative things to my temple. And there will come a point when he will pour out his vengeance and wrath on the place where it all started. And he said, this all started in Babylon with false religion that turned away from me. So I have kept a record of what has happened to my property over all these years, what has happened to my temple, and ultimately I'm going to destroy that part of the world because of it. Now the 11th prophecy is God's judgment against Babylon has been purposed by God and will be performed by God. Look at verse 12. Lift up a signal against the walls of Babylon, post a strong guard, station sentries, place men in ambush, for the Lord has both purposed and performed what he spoke concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. I want you to just look back to the previous chapter in verse 45 for a moment. Verse 45. Therefore, hear the plan of the Lord. I want you to understand this. I think this is critical because you don't get this kind of theology in most places. God's word makes it very clear that he has a plan and he's going to carry out his plan. And his plan, whether people like it or not, is vengeance. And most people don't want to hear about that. They don't want to hear about a plan like that. They want to hear about a plan of love and forgiveness and toleration. They don't want to hear about a plan of vengeance. But I would say this in light of this scripture. Vengeance is just as much a plan of God. It's just as much a purpose of God. It will be performed by God. It's just as much a plan as deliverance is. And it's no coincidence that when you get into the book of Romans, which is a New Testament book, what does God say in that book? Vengeance is mine, I will repay. So what God is basically saying here is, I have a purpose plan that I'm going to perform. And my purpose plan is, I'm going to pour out my vengeance. Now, the totality of what's been described here has never happened before. And so we know it's on the verge of happening, I think, very close proximity, perhaps, even to where we're at tonight. Now, the 12th prophecy is, God's judgment will destroy Babylon's beauty and wealth. Notice verse 13. O you who dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures, your end has come, the measure of your end. Now, Babylon lives by the Euphrates River. I mean, the Euphrates River literally ran through the city. And last week after the study, Jim came up to me and he showed me something about the Euphrates River actually drying up. Back up to chapter 50 and verse 38, we read in chapter 50, verse 38, a drought on our waters and they will be dried up. And so Jim showed me this. So I did a little research on that this week. And sure enough, it's exactly right. The Euphrates River is starting to dry up. And it's causing big problems. In fact, they're saying that 12 million people who live in Syria and then the majority of them in Iraq are struggling to get drinking water because the Euphrates is drying up so quickly. Now, what's interesting is if you listen to the news reporters who are in that part of the world and they're talking on basically the national television that's in Iraq, the English-speaking reporters are saying what's causing this drought is climate change. This isn't being caused by climate change. This is being caused by Almighty God. And what God is basically doing is saying, you've been known for being a beautiful place. You sat on the Euphrates River. Well, I'm taking that all out. I'm drying that all up. And after Cyrus overthrew Babylon in 539 BC, the city remained populated and productive. We don't have a lot of information about it during the Middle Ages, but there is evidence that since the 1700s, this part of the world has been inhabited. Dr. Koldewey, a German archaeologist in the 1900s, claimed that there were people living within the ancient city limits of old Babylon when he was doing his research. And then in 1987, Charles Dyer contacted Mrs. L. Glenn Darius, who was the assistant secretary of the British School of Archaeology in Iraq. And she confirmed that there are three modern settlements inside the walls of ancient Babylon right now. So what that would tell us is this area is still populated. There are still people living there. What is predicted here is the water is drying up. It's going to dry up. It is drying up. But what is also predicted here is that when this prophecy is fulfilled, there will not be any inhabitants left on that part of the world. And that hasn't happened yet. I think that's going to happen in Revelation 17 and 18. Now, the 13th prophecy is God's judgment will be a swarming locust type judgment. Verse 14, the Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, surely I will fill you with a population like locusts, and they will cry out with shouts of victory. There will be a massive locust type military invasion. I think that is predicted in Revelation. It's going to happen when there's going to be a massive military invasion that is going to take place. If you flip over quickly to Revelation chapter 9 for just a moment, Revelation chapter 9. And if you go down to verse 13, we read, then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before the Lord, one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released so that they would kill a third of mankind. The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard a number of them. And this is how I saw the vision of the horses who sat on them. The riders had breastplates and color of fire and hyacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. So what ultimately you have, and then if you back up to verse 3 of the 9th chapter, then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and the power was given them as a scorpion. It would seem to me that it's right about there when the totality of this prophecy is going to be fulfilled, and there's going to be a massive locust-type military movement to go in there and destroy this part of the world. Now, the 14th prophecy is God's judgment will cause the world to acknowledge the greatness of God and also the nothingness of man. Notice verse 15, it is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. All mankind is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there's no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. Now, verses 15 and 16 set forth something that most meteorologists who do the weather reports in this area just don't understand. God controls the weather, not Mother Nature. God controls the weather. He controls it in the past. That's what he's laying claim to here, by the way. I control the weather in the past. I control it in the present. And I also am going to control it in the future. And God is going to take the horrors of wrath and he's going to pour them out. He will thunder forth his voice. There'll be cracks of lightning. It's going to be an awesome display of the power of God coming right out of heaven. And it's going to take that to ultimately get stupid and ignorant and arrogant man to acknowledge the truth about the greatness of God. Now here's God's classification in verse 17 of people who don't understand the greatness of God. They are stupid and they have no knowledge. I don't care how smart they pretend to be. They're stupid and they have no knowledge. They can't control that moon. It's shining out there. It's majestic. Go out tomorrow morning, look at that moon. It's spectacular. They can't control that. That is by the sovereign hand of God. So God says, I'm going to cause the whole world to understand this is coming from me. Now, the 15th prophecy is God's judgment against Babylon will be for Israel and will preserve Israel. Verse 19, the portion of Jacob is not like these, for the maker of all is he, and of the tribe of his inheritance, the Lord of hosts is his name. He says, you are my war club, my weapon of war, And with you I shatter nations, with you I destroy kingdoms. Watch how many times he uses this noun, nepes, which is shatter. Verse 21, with you I shatter the horse and his rider, with you I shatter the chariot and its rider, with you I shatter the man and woman, with you I shatter the old man and youth, with you I shatter the young man and virgin, with you I shatter the shepherd and his flock, and with you I shatter the farmer and his team. And with you I shatter governors and prefects, but I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all their evil that they have done in Zion before your eyes, declares the Lord. That verb shatter speaks of a violent, shattering destruction that is anything but peaceful. And God is basically saying, I'm the one that controls the world and I allow powers to do this kind of stuff. I control them. They're doing my bidding. And then what he says is, I'm going to ultimately, once I do this, I'm going to show my portion is Jacob. I'm the maker of Israel. I am the one who's in charge of them. In other words, the whole world is going to stand in awe and realize this is the God of Israel. And he has shattered the rest of us. Now, the 16th prophecy is God's judgment against Babylon will vindictively and eternally obliterate her. Verse 25, behold, I'm against you, O destroying mountain who destroys the whole earth, declares the Lord, I will stretch out my hand against you and roll you down from the crags. I will make you a burnout mountain. They will not take from you even a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but you will be desolate forever, declares the Lord. Lift up a signal in the land, blow a trumpet among the nations, consecrate the nations against her, summon against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Meni, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a marshal against her, bring up horses like bristly locusts, consecrate the nations against her, the kings of the Medes, their governors, and all their prefects, and every land in their dominion, so the land quakes and rise for the purpose of the Lord against Babylon. Stand to make a land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitants. The mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They stay in the strongholds. Their strength is exhausted. They are like women. Their dwelling places are set on fire. The bars of her gates are broken. One courier runs to meet another, one messenger to meet another, to tell the king of Babylon that his city has been captured from end to end. The fords have also been seized. They've burned the marshes with fire. The men of war are terrified. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. At that time it's stamped firm. Yet in a little while the time of harvest will come for her. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has devoured me and crushed me. He set me down like an empty vessel. He swallowed me like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He's washed me away. May the violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. And the inhabitant of Zion will say, and may my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. Jerusalem will say, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm going to plead your case and exact full vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her fountain dry. Babylon will become a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, an object of horror, a hissing without inhabitants. They will roar together like young lions. They will growl like lions' cubs. When they become heated up, I will serve them their banquet and make them drunk, and they may become jubilant, and they may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams together with male goats. How Shishak has been captured, and the praise of the whole earth has been seized. How Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. The sea has come up over Babylon. She's been engulfed with its tumultuous waves. Her cities have become an object of horror, a parched land and a desert, a land in which no man lives and through which no son of man passes. Well, Dr. Charles Dyer said in verse 26 that even to this day, ancient stones and bricks are still being used to build houses and buildings. Well, this predicts the day when everything there is going to be destroyed. And what is described here has just not happened yet. And God, in that context, mentions different places that he's going to use as kind of his arsenal to come up against her. He's going to use Ararat, which is modern-day Armenia. He's going to use Meni, which is western Iran, and Ashkenaz, which is Turkey. And he's going to use these pagan nations to carry out his will. That's what you need to understand about the sovereignty of God. God uses pagan nations to do whatever he wants them to do. And he can call them and use them and use them when he's done with them. He can throw them away like a bug. And ultimately, that is exactly what he's going to do. Now, the 17th prophecy is God's judgment against Babylon is going to completely destroy the satanic work. Notice verse 44, I'll punish Bel in Babylon, I will make what he has swallowed come out of his mouth, and the nations will no longer stream to him. Even the wall of Babylon has fallen down. Now, Bel was the chief demonic deity of Babylon. The one who's ultimately behind this is Satan. And I tell you, and you know this, Satan has done many evil things in that Arab world. He has done many evil things from the Arabs to the Israelis. And God has kept a record of every bit of it. And what God basically says is all false religion, all man-made systems of religion, at this point in time, are coming down. I'm going to destroy them all. Now, the 18th prophecy is God's judgment against Babylon demands that God's people flee. He mentions that again in verse 45. Come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. Again, I want to reiterate this applicable point. You do not want to be near people or places that are going to be the target of God's wrath. You do not want to run with a crowd like that. If you know that there are people that are going in a direction that God says is evil, and you know God's going to punish evil, you don't want to run with that group. You don't want to be anywhere connected to that group. Get away from that group. And what God says here is when my people see these things happening, they need to start getting away, and they need to get away fast. The principle here is you flee things that bring God's wrath. You flee things that bring God's wrath. That's true here. It's true in the New Testament economy, the church age that we're in. Now, the 19th prophecy is God's judgment against Babylon will have a 2-year notice. I find verses 46 and 47 amazing. Now, so that your heart does not grow faint, and you're not afraid at the report that will be heard in the land, for the report will come 1 year, and after that another report in another year. And violence will be in the land with ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, days are coming when I'll punish the idols of Babylon, and her whole land will be put to shame, and all her slain will fall in her midst. Now, during the tribulation period, 144,000 Jewish witnesses are going to be sealed. They are first sealed in Revelation chapter 7, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Also, we know from Revelation chapter 11 that there are going to be two prophets that will be headquartered in Jerusalem. And they're going to be proclaiming a chronology of what is going to happen in the tribulation. What I understand this to mean is that they are actually going to predict that ultimately Babylon is going to be destroyed and leveled, and people need to get out of that area. If our chronology of events in Revelation is accurate, I would suspect that'll happen at about the four and a half year or five year point of the tribulation. The tribulation is a 7-year period. And at about four and a half or five years in, that's when this warning is going to be given that Babylon is going to be destroyed. And when the people hear that, they need to respond to that and get out of there. Now, the 20th prophecy is God's judgment against Babylon will cause rejoicing. Verse 48 says, then heaven and earth and all that is in them will shout for joy over Babylon, for the destroyers will come to her from the north, declare the Lord. Now, we know that that moment coincides with Revelation chapter 19. When God ultimately destroys Babylon, believers are going to rejoice. And they'll rejoice for several reasons. Number one, they'll realize these people that filled the world with false religion and these people that did such horrible things to the people of God are being destroyed. But they also realize at this moment, when this happens, we're on the verge of Jesus Christ coming back and taking over the world. So it's going to be a major cause of rejoicing when you reach this moment. Now, the 21st prophecy is God's judgment against Babylon will be due to what she has done to God's people. Verse 49, indeed, Babylon is to fall for the slain of Israel. And also for Babylon, the slain of all the earth have fallen. The history of Babylon, the history of false religion, the history of the Arabs is killing Jews and Christians. And God has kept records of every bit of it. And he will fully settle the score. He promises vengeance. He says, leave vengeance to me. And this is a New Testament principle, as I told you, Romans 12, 19. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, the 22nd prophecy is God's judgment against Babylon should cause any survivor to think about God in Jerusalem. Verse 50, you who have escaped the sword, depart, do not stay. Remember the Lord from afar and let Jerusalem come to your mind. Now, why, when this is happening, should people think about God and Jerusalem? Why should they begin to think about that? Because Christ is coming back there. And when this goes on, this is in close proximity to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Revelation 19:11 is when Christ comes in all of his glory. So when people see this thing going on in Babylon, they need to think, boy, we better think about Jerusalem because Christ is coming back there. Now, the 23rd prophecy is God's judgment against Babylon will cause Israel to be ashamed. Verse 51, we are ashamed because we've heard reproach. Disgrace has covered our faces, for aliens have entered the holy places of the Lord's house. What will happen at this point in time is Israel's going to realize, oh, did we mess up? Did we mess up? They're going to realize we were the reason why God permitted our land to be taken. We're the reason why God permitted our temple to be destroyed. She's going to realize it was a disgrace for us to not worship the true God of the Bible when we should have been doing that. And we allowed aliens to enter the Lord's house. Certainly, this has a reference to the Antichrist and the false prophet who literally will go into the temple in Jerusalem and demand to be worshipped. And Israel, at the initial part of this, will welcome him with open arms because they'll think he's their Messiah. So they're going to welcome him in, and they're going to be ashamed of that when they finally get to this point. The 24th prophecy is God's judgment against Babylon will be unstoppable and complete. Verse 52, therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish her idols, and the mortally wounded will groan throughout her land. Though Babylon should ascend to the heavens, and though she should fortify her lofty stronghold from me, destroyers will come to her, declares the Lord. The sound of an outcry from Babylon and of great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, for the Lord is going to destroy Babylon. He will make her loud noise vanish from her, and their waves will roar like many waters. The tumult of their voices sounds forth. For the destroyer is coming against her, against Babylon, and her mighty men will be captured. Their bows are shattered, for the Lord is a God of recompense, and he will fully repay. I will make her princes and her wise men drunk, her governors and her prefects and her mighty men, that they may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus the Lord of hosts, the broad wall of Babylon, will be completely razed, and her high gates will be set on fire. So the peoples will toil for nothing, and the nations become exhausted only for fire. There's going to be a great outcry that will take place, but what is brought out here is God says, I don't care who they are militarily, I don't care who they are politically, I'm bringing them all down. And I'm going to pay back, and notice this about God, because this is something you want to know in your theology. God is a God of full recompense. He's a God of full recompense. Now let me put that into a practical matter for people today in believing on Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you don't invite him into your life to save you from your sins, you need to understand this about God. He's a God of full recompense. You will pay the full price for every sin you think you got away with. God's not going to let anybody off the hook. He is a God of full recompense. The only way you can have that sin case resolved is by having those sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And the only way you can get those sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb is that you invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. Now, the 25th prophecy is God's judgment against Babylon will remove her forever from existence. Notice verse 59, the message which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah, the son of Neriah, the grandson of Messiah, when he went to Zedekiah, the king of Judah, to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. Now, Sariah was quartermaster, so Jeremiah wrote in a single scroll all the calamity which would come upon Babylon, that is, all the words which have been written concerning Babylon. Then Jeremiah said to Sariah, as soon as you come to Babylon, then see that you read all these words aloud. And say, you, Lord, have promised concerning this place to cut it off so that there will be nothing dwelling in it, whether man or beast, but it will be a perpetual desolation. And as soon as you finish reading this scroll, you will tie a stone to it and throw it in the middle of the Euphrates and say, just so shall Babylon sink down and not rise again because of the calamity that I'm going to bring upon her, and they will become exhausted. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Now, Sariah was the brother of Baruch, and Baruch was Jeremiah's right-hand guy. And Jeremiah specifically gave him assignment. He was a key military guy, quartermaster. He was a staff officer, politically speaking. And Jeremiah said, what I want you to do is I want you to take what I've written here about Babylon. I want you to take the word of God, number one, and I want the word of God to be read. I want you to go to Babylon, and I want you to read the word of God of what is going to happen to Babylon. Then he said, I want the word of God interpreted. Verse 62, and you say, you, O Lord, have promised concerning this place to cut it off, that there'll be nothing dwelling in it. So I want you to read the word of God, then I want you to tell the people exactly what it is saying, that you're going to be completely obliterated and wiped out. And then he wants the word of God illustrated. He wants this illustrated by you tie a stone to the scroll and throw it into the Euphrates. And that scroll and that stone has never surfaced ever since he did that. It's never been found. It'll be interesting to see when that Euphrates is completely dried up, if God would preserve something that would actually illustrate these very prophecies that were given in Jeremiah. But then verse 64 says, this ends Jeremiah's prophecies to the nations. So we went through all of the prophecies that Jeremiah presented to the nations. His words didn't end, obviously. We're still studying his words. But his prophecies to the nations ended, and that's what's said at the end of verse 64. Now, what is stated in this chapter is that there is the wrath of God that is going to be leveled against an oppressive, arrogant, political leader and power who's hurt God's people. God has kept records of everything that false religious people have done. And there is coming a day where there's going to be a full recompense of what they've done. And any political leader who makes decisions that hurt God's people are going to pay. So those political leaders tonight in Washington or anywhere else in the world who think, I don't have to listen to the word of God. I don't care what the word of God says. I don't care if I hurt God's people. I don't care if we make decisions contrary to the word of God, because we're just going to do it our way. They're proud. They're arrogant. They're not going to humble themselves to God. God says, I got it all. I got it all, as it were, on tape. And there will come a moment when there will be a full recompense and they're going to be paid back. Now, before Babylon falls, I want to show you one text in Revelation. Go to Revelation 16. The fall of Babylon is graphically described in Revelation 17 and 18, and when we go through the book of Revelation, we'll go through it. But what I want to take you to tonight is Revelation 16, and I want to start at verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. There was a great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men, and the men blasphemed God because the plague of hail was extremely severe. Now, what we learn from this passage of Scripture is that before God destroys Babylon, verse 19 says, the cities of the nations are coming down. Do you see that? Babylon's destroyed in Revelation 17 and 18. But just before that happens, God says the cities of the nations are coming down. So these people who are running nations, these people who are running cities, who are thinking they're just getting away with their own governmental decisions and nobody's keeping track of this, need to understand this. Before God does this to Babylon, he'll do it to them. They'll pay. Because God is a God of full recompense. That is Jeremiah 51. Well, our time is long gone tonight, but I couldn't handle that chapter much quicker than we did. Thanks for coming. Good night. The Lord bless you.